This is How Men Think with Brooks Like and Gavin DeGraw, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to the show. My name is Brooks Like. This is How Men Think, and this man to my left in his nice flannel fall sweater.
Don't I look so cuddly?
Mr. Gavin DeGraw.
Good to see you, buddy. Yeah, I'm cuddly today. I'm a cuddly guy.
But you've got camo pants on, which also means I'm a warrior.
Don't hold me too long.
It means that he's single.
He's got bright red with camo pants.
Because when you're married, your wife will hinder you from leaving the house with flannel shirts and cargo pants at the same time.
It's true. I'm sure you're right.
That's so true because... my wife, when she met me, she goes, "Nobody wants to read your T-shirt." And so now you look at me, my T-shirts
man.
Are all, you're wearing a blank
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
My T-shirts are
no
all
messaging
just blank.
On the T-shirts.
Yeah.
That's funny because I almost
no
wore
socks
one like
and
that.
Flip-flops.
No,
I'm
yeah,
not
no.
allowed
yeah.
socks and flip-flops.
My dad does that. So that deep romantic
terrible.
Voice you're hearing is yeah. a guest co-host. We have two
oh,
guest
yeah.
co-hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Gav, mm-hmm. you want to introduce? You want me to introduce?
I want you to introduce.
I always do
this
the hard
is your
labor
specialty.
Around here. Yeah. So we have Boris Kodjo with us in the house.
Good we morning. Like that. We like yes. Boris.
Celebrated actor, family man. We're going to get yes, more into sir. Your story. And we have Eve Rodsky in the house with us.
Yay.
Celebrated author.
All
we're
about.
Diving into a dynamite.
We were all fighting 3 minutes ago before we went on. Literally, there was
I
like,
don't fight.
Boris and I were fighting so much that he called his wife, and I took her side.
Oh,
of course
so
you did.
Amy is super
no surprise,
fired up about this podcast.
I love what Eve is all about,
thank
and I can't
you.
Wait to hear you guys talk about it.
I can't wait to hear what she's all about.
So, Eve, you have a new book. It's called Fair Play, and it's a game-changing solution for when you have too much to do and more life to live, and it's out now. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about this book. Your goal with this book, and you said before, it was your gift
yeah, so
to men.
My goal is to get men to do more in the home.
Yeah, okay.
That's my goal. But actually, I wrote Fair Play as a love letter to women, and I'll talk about sort of how this started. It started with a text my husband sent me where I was sobbing on the side of the road. So we'll get to that. Mm. But what?
Long story.
But
we will anyway. We'll get sobbing on the side of the road.
No, long story. But I'll just tell really quick. But really, what this book, Fair Play, became my love letter to men, because I interviewed 500 men and women for this book, from that mirrored the U.S. Census in terms of ethnicity and socioeconomic status, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot from men. And I learned that you're being locked out of your houses over glue sticks and other things like that. So I can't wait to get into it. But I will tell you quickly about that fateful text that was
were
sent to me 7 years ago where I was pulled over to the side of the road sobbing. And the text my husband sent me, Seth, his name is Seth, just said, "I'm surprised you didn't get blueberries." And so I'll just picture
What's
the scene.
What's the background of that? Yeah.
Picture
yeah,
the scene.
Backstory.
I have a breast pump and a diaper bag on the passenger
bad.
Seat.
Oh.
I have returns.
I need to talk to Seth.
Yes.
Bad move, buddy.
Returns for a new baby because, you know, the store policy is like 2 days
yeah.
in the back seat. I'm a lawyer. I'm a Harvard-trained attorney. I have a client contract on my lap with a pen that's falling between my legs as I'm trying to mark up a client contract in between traffic stops, trying to pick up my first kid who is 3 years old from his transition preschool program that in America, because we really value working parents, lasts literally like 5 minutes. And so as I'm racing
on
to get him, yeah, I knew I was going to be late to pick up Zach, but I get this, I'm surprised you didn't get blueberry text.
I'm surprised you didn't get
and I
and
just
you didn't divorce
over.
Him immediately?
No, but you know what I was thinking? I was thinking if my marriage was going to end, it should be over something way more dramatic, like my affair with an NFL player. Like that's what was going to happen to me.
That's a romantic notion of a divorce.
I thought that's how my marriage would end, right? Like some really dramatic, cool fight in the Caribbean or this awesome affair. But instead it's over off-season blueberries.
Wow.
And
your marriage actually did end?
It survived.
Wow.
It survived.
Question in, and because I'm just getting the context of this story.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he know all of that you had going on at that moment? Was he like, "Oh, my wife is this.
Well, he's
and I still
to
choose
her,
to
right?
send this text.
Isn't he the father of your child?
He is, but you know
so
what?
He knew about the breast pumps and the baby and stuff.
He did know about that, but I will say that from a woman's perspective, right, I'm thinking, I'm so overwhelmed. I can't even manage a grocery list. And I used to be able to manage an employee team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And slowly my career is sort of fading away from me after my second son. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, I'm so overwhelmed from literally all this. What I found out is called the second shift for women, the mental load, invisible work. Mm. That I couldn't even at that point communicate it to him. And I think, Brooks, what you just said is so important because he didn't know what was happening to me. And I didn't even know what was happening to me. Mm. Literally, I had no idea what was happening to me except for that I knew my marriage shouldn't be ending over off-season blueberries.
I just can't believe you could forget blueberries.
Right.
They're well, right at the front when you walk in. The organic ones, they got the sign. Guy,
what's the problem?
No idea. They come on your pancakes from room service.
They do.
I mean, really.
You can't believe it.
You know, apparently I became the fulfiller of my husband's smoothie needs, right? I mean, that's what you become.
So at the time he was at home watching ESPN with socks and flip-flops
Pretty much. Well, you know, men statistically have twice as much leisure time as women.
Really?
After kids. They do 5 to 15 hours a week less after kids come along. Mm-hmm. But again, back to my love letter to men. Mm-hmm. What I found out when I went on this quest after the blueberries fateful day 7 years ago was not only that this phenomenon has a name, second shift, mental load, all these emotional labor, things that women talk about. There's 350 articles alone on this issue. Mm-hmm. But my favorite was this idea of invisible work because of what Brooks, you were just saying. How can you men value what I'm doing if it's invisible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I went on a quest to make everything visible that I'd ever done for my family and my husband that took more than 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know Excel, if you ever work with Excel, but I'm obsessed with Excel.
You write stuff on your hands?
I do write things in my hands too. That's what I mean. But Excel,
I do write things in my hands.
I love that's a very 1980s or 1990s way of studying.
I love it.
It's a female thing.
So basically, this Excel spreadsheet I created for Seth after that day that was crowdsourced from women all over the country who didn't even know me turned into 98 tabs. And I about 20 sub tabs, so over 1,000 items of invisible work. And
what
I titled it. Okay.
Holy shit.
Well, women I didn't even know were calling me. They were getting this Excel sheet from friends of friends, and they would say things to me like, "Well, you forgot applying sunscreen.
You forgot raspberries.
Right. You forgot buying the blueberries. That was in there. Groceries was easy, but you forgot applying sunscreen." And so I'd say, well, no, you just don't know how to use Excel. You just have to scroll right. It's under tab 92, under medical and healthy living for your children.
So how many tabs does a man have, like 12?
Well, some have zero. Some have zero.
So then you have to blame the wife. I mean, if you're getting married to somebody who's a zero in so many different ways, then that's your fault. Because the problem is that women fall in love with the potential. They never just say, "Oh, I love you, who you're standing in front of me." No, I love you once you do this, when you do that, when you maximize your potential in this area, when you stop wearing flip flops and socks, when you do your own blueberry smoothies. They never fall in love with the actual person that's standing in front of them at the time. They always fall in love with the potential. That's when your expectations become the death sentence.
Well, you just said something very important. Literally the most important thing that I found in Fair Play is about expectations.
Yeah.
That it's all about communication and expectations, right? Because that should I do spreadsheet that I did.
That's what you titled it?
I titled should I do spreadsheet.
And should be part of vows.
The should I do spreadsheet.
There, you're about right actually.
I can learn more about you from talking about those tabs like garbage, and I'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. But the should I do spreadsheet. So remember, I just told you I'm a lawyer, but I'm also trained as a mediator. So I'm actually literally trained in communication. I grew up in a single mother household where I helped my mother at 8 years old manage eviction notices and utility bills in piles for her at 8 years old.
But that is a whole different disposition that you have to add to the book title, because the fact that you grew up in a single mother house already conditioned you to think and live and breathe a very specific certain way. Because single mothers raised their daughters to be completely independent and never need anything from a man. That's a very generalization, I get it. But oftentimes women come out of a household like that, not just being empowered and being self-sufficient and being confident, but also completely rejecting the notion of a man being a partner.
or learning how to communicate.
That's right.
Even if you're trained in it.
That's right. Yeah.
And I think that's, you're right.
Did Seth know that? Did Seth know that before he sent the text to the blueberries?
Seth knew what my mother, what she brought to the table. She's a very interesting person. But I think what he realized, right, was that even in a household where I'd vowed this was not going to happen to me, and where I thought I was setting myself up for success, yeah,
you're already
good
projecting
patterns
before you even get into the relationship.
Yeah, well, I think
that's not fair to Seth.
That's right.
You got to start fresh. You can't project all of your paradigms from your failed relationship.
You need to rewrite this book now. Is what we're trying to say. Bring it back to us in a couple of months.
No, but I. There's learnings. There's learnings from, because I think what happened was I did have all those learnings you're talking about. It came too late, right? Mm-hmm. It came a little bit too late where I had to be sobbing on the side of the road over blueberries and send my husband a 19 million megabyte spreadsheet with zero context that just had a subject line, said, can't wait to discuss.
Shit that I do.
Can't wait to discuss.
So regarding the blueberries, regarding the blueberries, should he have not sent the text at all with the blueberries?
Okay,
or should
I can
he
answer
phrase
this.
The blueberry thing different?
No.
Or should he have gone and gotten
blueberries.
Okay. Right, go get your own blueberries.
Because if you're married to this woman and she just gave birth to two children, she's still breast pumping.
Yeah.
She's a lawyer. She's working, which means she's working. Unless you've been on vacation in Siberia for 6 months, you have been part of this life.
Right,
so you understand where she's at. So you don't need to have her pulled up to the side of the road letting you know the state of mind she's in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a husband who's somewhat present, you totally understand that. You don't bother her with blueberry text messages. You got the blueberries and you made her favorite smoothie and maybe even put it in her bag before she left.
I love that.
No, it's true.
I love it. Well, I think you're very woke because I will say that there's not.
I don't think that's woke.
But it is woke.
It should be.
It is woke.
It's why you were disagreeing with the list thing that she was saying because you, just knowing you now, you're a father of two, Boris?
Two.
Yeah. So
one special needs child, which is like 13 children.
Yes. So in my mind, I didn't know that. I just learned that now.
But
in my mind, you're like, men do, like you were making the noises earlier. You're like, men do so much. And it's because you, I believe, do so much.
Right.
So you can't understand a man that doesn't do these things for his family or his wife.
Well, Eve, isn't there
I get that because I align with you. I align with you. There are.
I have no patience for that.
That's the thing I think we need
there's
to talk about,
There's a ton of those.
What did you say,
Amy? Absolutely. I think that was
the men.
The men are
doing invisible things, too, that the
women. Oh, it's the same thing. It's the same. I have the same list.
Yeah.
But this is what was happening.
Mine is getting tampons, maybe. But other than that, I have the same list, for sure. Mm-hmm. I get up at 5 every morning. I do everything. Mm-hmm. Get the kids
up,
breakfast, everything.
What happens, though, when you say I do everything and the other person says I do everything, right? And so every single book that had been written until Fair Play, well, there were some very unhelpful solutions, like women should just strike and walk out of their house. Other ones said move to a foreign country where your husband knows the language but you don't, so that he has to fill out the school forms.
That's
the New York Times. The New York Times has actually suggested that. But even the most helpful situations just said make a list. So as you saw, I made the shit I do spreadsheet, the best list in the world. And what I realized is that it unleashed a shit storm. In my house, there was a see no evil. But in other homes, women were texting me things like WTF, I'm doing it all. Other women were saying to me, at this rate, I'm not going to stay in my marriage. And so what I realized is that sometimes consciousness raising is not always the best thing unless there's a solution. Mm. And so that's why I went out to understand what was happening and speaking to men. And here's what I found.
I have to cancel all my stuff after this. So I can't.
Okay, so this is what I found. I found that the smallest details were causing the biggest problems. I had a man tell me that he was locked out of his home over a glue stick. You can't make this shit up.
He's not, but here's my,
what's a
glue I don't
stick?
Know the story.
A glue
He's
stick.
Not locked out of the home
you
over
know what
a glue
stick.
Stick
is? I bet your wife does.
Yeah, it's like
from,
Eve, I have a question for this.
The glue stick was just the last straw.
Basically.
He's not actually locked out over the glue stick.
Right.
Just like you weren't you weren't so mad at the text. There was so many things layered into that.
Oh my God, that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, literally,
so
that's what I say as a mediator. I say
but
the
a conscious man, a conscious husband knows that.
Yes.
Right? But not
so
always.
You won't send it.
There's something that just triggers all of a sudden.
I am clinically aware of the emotional, physical, and spiritual place my wife is in at every moment.
Okay,
because
say that again, because that's a beautiful line. I think most men.
It's the truth.
That's the secret to a happy marriage.
That's a dedicated family.
Yeah,
because, dedicated to his wife, dedicated to his kids.
I get that sense from you already, boys.
I know that, you know, happy life. So I know that her state of mind, her emotional state, her spiritual state, her physical state, controls and influences what the rest of the world looks like for us. She's the nucleus. So my job is to make sure that at all times that she is in a state that is conducive to a happy living. Right?
Most it's men very, are not
it's
like
very
that.
Oh my gosh.
It's
I know,
primal.
But that's
it's
why I'm happy
primal.
You're
it's
here.
It's very simple. Life is not easy. Trust me, I know, but it's simple. Especially for men. We compartmentalize. For us, it's very simple. Which sometimes also leads to issues between us and women because for you ladies, your brain doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Your brain works differently, right? So you have literally an orbit of a million different satellites and things all playing into one at the same time. That's why you don't go to sleep at night. I laid my head down and 12 seconds later,
yeah,
I'm gone.
I got you. I'm the same.
I'm gone. That's how men work.
I must be
works.
A woman because I'll lay there for 7 hours straight.
Because what happens is we go to the sleep box. We say, okay, now I can leave everything behind.
Yes.
Now it's time to sleepy sleep. And we go to sleep, right? It doesn't work that way with you guys. So we have to learn skills in order to communicate effectively, knowing that we have different brains.
We can literally be like, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm busy, I'm bored,
at the same
I'm angry,
time.
All at yeah. the same
yeah.
time.
There's something my wife yeah. says all the time, all the things.
Yes.
That's what she says. So we go What's to a wrong? Restaurant. All we go to a restaurant. We sit yeah. down like, babe, do you know what you want? She's like, all the things.
Yeah.
All of, like I want mm-hmm. these yes. four appetizers
Feeling
and these three entrees.
That.
I'm like,
and then
you're
I don't
106 pounds. You're not pounding that much food into you.
No, and then she eats your food.
Yeah, and then she wants mine comes
because you've been ordering the same
that.
Thing yeah. for 20 years at the same place. Yeah. And she always wants to be adventurous.
Yeah.
And then she orders stuff that looks great. And then she envisions how it's going to look. And then it comes and doesn't look like
and
she envisions it. And then she
the
eats your food.
The joy and the pain of men and women. In
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. It adds.
It is.
It adds, for men, I believe it adds.
Adventure.
Yeah, it adds it adds vibrance and color and like just variation to yeah. our life. And
Look, I shouldn't out this, but I was dealing with a little bit of a broken heart. So I called Rick, one of our co-hosts, and I had called him a few days in a row to talk about my broken heart. And finally he was like, Amy, I have to coach water polo, coach baseball, unload yeah. the car, cook mm-hmm. dinner. I don't have time for this with you. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whew, but I get it. Like he had his things going and mm-hmm. I was just one more thing throwing him off.
Mm-hmm. But you also want to
And I'm
process.
Like, he just
yeah.
yelled at the little girl with the broken heart. But, you know, he saw it very differently.
Well, yeah.
And I think
that's
part
of communication.
But
back to Brooks, what you were just saying, though, about it's not about the blueberries, right?
Yeah,
or it's not about the glue stick. Why is this man being locked out of his house over a glue stick, right? So when I spoke to his partner, she said to me, I've been working for 3 weeks on a homework project for our kid where we went to the library, we Xerox copied pictures of Albert Einstein, cut them out, did the captions, put them in order, worked on the book report, got the costume because this kid had to be impersonating Albert Einstein. All I needed was just that one thing, the glue stick.
And she told him 3 weeks ago to get
it. No, well, she did. But she texted him in the middle of the day. Mm. And so this is what was happening, right? So men were saying this all the time, right? I'm getting these. So I ended up calling it the rat. And what I realized was happening, the number one thing men were telling me they were frustrated about with home life was this idea of nagging. So what is nagging? It's the rat. It's the random assignment of a task. Get me tampons. Go get me a glue stick. Mm-hmm. Go back to the store.
Do you know why, from
yes.
a man's point? Because men, if they want something, will just go do it.
Right. Well,
I won't ask him to go do, mm-hmm. I won't ask Gavin to go do something for me. I'll just go do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what fair play is about, because I found that with men, that when they get ownership, everything changed. So just let me tell you one last mm-hmm. thing about the system, and then we can go into it. Everything you need to know about the way the system works, and it's based, like I said, a lot of data from men. Most of the experts actually in my book are men. It was about mustard, and I'll explain what I mean. So somebody has to know eventually that your second son, Johnny, likes French's yellow mustard. That's the only way he eats protein. Mm-hmm. He dips his mustard, you know, his protein in mustard. That's what I call conception. This is a business concept, conception. Mm-hmm. Then somebody has to notice that the mustard's running low and put it on a list mm-hmm. with other groceries for the week. That's what I call planning. That's mm-hmm. another business concept. Then someone has to get their butt to the store to buy the French's yellow mustard. That's in my data where men came in. They stepped in at the execution, and it was always a problem because you come home with spicy Dijon. You come home with the nasty mustard with the seeds in it. And so men all over the country were saying to me, I'm not doing anything for my wife anymore because every time I bring home the mustard, it's always wrong.
Okay.
And women are saying to me,
you got three dudes so just ready to
well,
burst.
That's it. Okay,
over
one second. And then women are saying to me, last thing, I'll just finish my little round thing. Women are saying to me, Eve, you want me to trust him with my estate planning? He can't even bring home the right type of mustard. So that becomes, Brooks, like you said, not about mustard, not about blueberries, but trust.
But it is.
But it's about trust, a trust cycle.
You know, I hear.
And we go down and down.
You take it to a trust cycle. It comes down to
communication. What do you think it's about? Okay.
We had the same. My wife always brings up the same this very example about orange juice with or without pulp.
With or without pulp? Okay. Oh, my God. I love it.
She always brings that up. See, the thing is this.
Wait. Do you bring home the right type of orange juice? Or were you criticized? No. Yeah. I want to hear that. Do you have a spicy Dijon situation?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so tell me that.
We have it every day.
Tell me a little bit about those.
Okay, well, the text message. She likes to involve me in group text messages, which are...
You hate.
I hate.
You hate.
I can't stand
soul.
Those.
I never pull her into things where I can handle it.
But we are on those text messages.
She wants
they
to
suck.
Be inclusive, and then she wants to put me in a text message and say hi to some people that are doing some stuff for us at the house. And yes, she's coming to the house tomorrow. So just and then she texts me individually and says, just chime in and say that you're happy to see them tomorrow. I'm like, what the f***? Okay, and then I say, awful. Great to see you tomorrow. And then she calls me,
and you
why
hate
did
it.
You say that? You should have said that if they want anything, they can call you. And why did you say? And I'm like, babe.
And you can't
I'm
wait
literally,
to-
I'm here, board meeting, 16 things, and you text me this. I thought I was helping. Clearly I wasn't. So don't. Don't pull me into the situation if you have to monitor and control every single word that I
it's
text.
It's all just...
Or I said, or... Text it for me. I'll copy it, and I'm not texting myself.
I love that, but I'm still more interested in the orange juice, non-pulp versus pulp. How did you have the conversation?
It's orange juice.
Okay.
That's what's happening in midlife. We're fighting over pulp and our orange juice.
No, but everybody's
does that sound like you want to get married?
No, it's not the pulp. It's not about that.
May I?
Don't get married. It's not a pulp. It's not about the pulp.
Don't worry about it.
It's about effective communication, right? And the problem is... And I keep reminding my wife about this, too, when she tells me that Sophie was wearing the wrong outfit to the dance or to the this or the that, and that Nicholas should have get the hair product and put it. We became parents the exact same time, the exact same moment we became parents, right? The notion that people who get married become one is bullshit.
Of course.
Don't believe it. Yes, you coordinate, you collaborate, you synergize, you it's more fun to do it together. Great. You will always remain individuals, and therefore you have paradigms that are anchored in your hard drive, which is a subconscious mind, that will not change. Will not change. That's from 0 to 7 years. A lot of information is put in the hard drive, and then it's done, right? So I'm the person who I am because of what happened the first 7 years of my life. Mm-hmm. Same with you, right? So that's never going to change. So all we can do is learn each other's dance steps, mm-hmm. which is the execution that's based on the paradigms that we have been taught when we were 0 to 7 years old, right? So we have to learn how to effectively communicate around those paradigms that have made us who we are.
Yes.
And it won't change.
Correct.
So the fact that we became parents the same exact time means that I will do things my way and it won't change because I'm a great father. I'm a hell of a father. I'm present. I'm there. I do everything. Great father. And I will continue to do things the way I do things. Sometimes my wife doesn't like the way I brush my teeth. Sometimes she doesn't like the way I chew my food. Sometimes she doesn't like. Great. It happens on both sides. But I, for some reason, men have the capacity to accept who their wife is and the way she does things, even the things that she tells us to do.
Right.
Right? Vice versa, never doesn't happen.
Ooh,
never
happens.
I completely disagree with that.
Get out of there. Never.
I disagree with that.
But
this is the problem.
Too. So I had a boyfriend spent the night the other night.
That girl.
Well, no, it's an ex-boyfriend.
That girl.
We're in the same room. Separate rooms, guys.
But he, what's the point of spending the night?
I don't. It doesn't matter. So he used my toothpaste, and the way he squeezed the tube was so freaking bizarre to me that I had to go back in and smooth out the tube. And I thought
you had to rethink the whole relationship.
I was like, how could I live with this? Could I live with this? Yeah. And then I thought, I guess I would just undo the tube every day.
Different bathrooms.
No, you wouldn't do
that.
What you need. You'd just get resentful, and you'd finally end up dumping stuff on your husband's pillow when he forgets to take out
a whole toothpaste.
I have a thought on this. From the dryer. We need to take a break. I'm going to get to that and this whole conversation because Gavin and I have just been listening here. This is really interesting. But let's take a break first. We'll come back in a sec. Back from break, this is Brooks Like in a studio, even though you haven't heard him yet. We got my buddy Gavin DeGraw. We got Eve and Boris
with us.
And we have this is one of our most polarizing debates that we've ever had. I love that we have different energies coming from different sides of this. Now, to touch on just listening, my thoughts here is I'm listening to you, Amy, about the toothpaste. And I'm listening to you, Eve, about wanting to know from Boris the pulp or no pulp. My thoughts when I'm listening to this discussion is I go to the macro level. We live in a very fortunate country. We're very fortunate people. You can afford toothpaste. You can afford the choice between pulp or no pulp. We live in a country where you can go to a store that provides it for you. And all you have to do is give them a little money for it. Like when I hear these things and that we're bickering over them and that families bicker over them and that your husband says, where's the blueberry? I'm surprised you didn't get blueberry. Who the cares? You are so fortunate to be living in the United States of America with the people around us, the loved ones that we have, that I can't even really engage in this, that I don't even know what to do with this.
To be in the United States not paying Canadian taxes. Isn't that what you meant to say?
Not having healthcare, not having education.
So that's where my mind goes. Hold on. Let me go to the flip side of this now.
No paternity.
Don't start me on the macro.
I have another thought of this now. Now, the other side of this is, and I've learned this through being married.
80% of what men are, and women of color paid only 50%.
That's right. Don't get me started.
Okay. So the other side of this is that I've learned this through being married is that details matter immensely, especially to my wife, to females. So whether how the toothpaste is, like that was an issue for my wife. She's like, can you put the toothpaste in the drawer? And I'm like, you're going to bed right now. The lights are going to be out for 9 hours. I'm going to be up before you come back. I'm going to use that toothpaste before you're ever going to see it again.
Did you engage in that conversation?
But I was like,
or did you just think that?
No, I said that. I said that. And I'm like, why does it matter that it's in the drawer? And she's like, it just matters. It's just like, I just want it in the drawer. And I'm like, okay.
We have that conversation the first 2 years and then we stop. And then we don't have the conversation more, right?
Because you just, now you stop bringing resentment, it up.
No, she keeps bringing it up, but we just swallow it and we go, you're right. Okay. And that's when the man goes to the couch. And
that's when the man
settles on the couch. And he won't get up anymore because every time we attempt to do something our way, we're being told it's the wrong way.
So after a while,
we are on the bench. We are on the couch.
Absolutely.
And that's where we stay for the remainder.
And that's when he starts texting someone else.
Well, I found a lot of actually.
That's the whole Amy thing now. Yes. That's when he comes over.
I will say that nagging men who were saying that they were nagged, right?
I'm not saying I was nagged. I also did that to my wife. Can you please put your coffee instead of in the sink? Can you put it in the dishwasher that's 6 inches away?
Yeah. But this is the thing, like what you said about being fortunate. We are fortunate, right? And this is why I just wrote an article for Harper's Bazaar about this. Of course we're fortunate. But this is the thing. I talk about this in Harper's this week, that this is the real midlife crisis. This is the real midlife crisis. You think it's about breast implants or a green Ferrari? And I'm saying this for you, Kevin, because you'll get there, right?
I don't have a Ferrari.
Right. No,
but I do have breast implants for sure.
Right.
And they're green.
And they're green. And you're wearing
the Hulk.
And they look really good right now.
But the Hulk.
The real midlife crisis is like what happens, right, when you're in midlife and the person who's supposed to love you the most ends up resenting you the most over this bullshit, right? Mm. And it is because of communication. I had a woman who said to me, this is about how women communicate, and maybe it's different for men because you would be willing to come to the table. And that's why Fair Play is my love letter to men, because when you think in systems, which is this book is about, any man, so a man who plays sports said to me, I love systems because I watch sports and I play sports, and I would never put my point guard in as my center, right? You know your role. So it's all about knowing your role, but to get there, you have to communicate. And one thing I'll just end up, I'll just
no,
I'll
let, no, no, no.
Yes.
Then you want us to be spontaneous and adventurous.
I don't. Yes. I don't actually. Spontaneity comes out of systems. No, but it doesn't.
I don't want to have to tell you to do it. I want you to want to do it.
No, but all women say that. Women say in the time it takes you to figure it out, I could just do it myself, right? Mm-hmm. That is completely counterintuitive. So
it's lose-lose for us.
But it's not lose-lose.
You know, I think culturally there's a real problem in general is that it seems to be acceptable in Western civilization for men to be browbeaten in conversation. I would never do that. It's almost like the conversation that you led off with started with a browbeating on the husband. Right. And like, just look at our entertainment. Every single sitcom is based off of the Honeymoons.
Correct.
Which is what? The guy being some sort of a dunce, and the wife always knows better than him, and he's an idiot, and his best friend's an absolute moron too. And it's, you know, the same formula on every single show. So we're sold this sort of idea created these preconceptions going into marriages. I think that we're taking Hollywood to heart when we go into these relationships. I think women are looking at their men like they're these incapable morons who hang out on the couch.
Well, how about women saying to me that literally I've
women... Because they're not being sensitive enough when actually all they're saying is, all right, relax, I'll get to it in an hour and a half, or like I just got out of work too.
Absolutely.
I'll fix the dishwasher tomorrow.
Well, I think that's right.
You know what I mean?
I know, and women were even saying to me worse than that. So I agree. I think there is a lot of man shaming, especially
a lot of man shaming.
A lot of
in
man
Western
shaming.
I think that's
correct.
Gross, I have to say.
And so when you look at something as a system though, where you know your role and you have explicitly defined expectations, there is not man shaming because men also do invisible work that women don't see.
But
women were saying things to me even worse. They were saying my husband doesn't have the brain to wash the dishes.
Really?
Literally. They were saying to me that he can't even multitask.
You know,
I do it because I'm a better multitasker.
I don't think us men talk that in that catty way about our women.
Never.
It doesn't happen.
But I appreciate that.
Well, that's not what we do.
Never.
Men are really private about their relationships.
But women aren't. And so
we try not to shame our women.
Mm.
But for some reason, I hear a lot more shaming about men between women than shaming about women between men.
Well, I love that. So thank you, men out there.
I'm just letting you know.
I think that's right.
I think that we're innately... We like to hang out and we like to bullshit socially with each other, but we're very private
about
our relationships.
Which is a good thing.
Can be a good thing.
But what if I tell you that I went to the top neuroscientist, though, in the country, right, to find out whether women are wired differently, if we're better multitaskers, right? Mm-hmm. And so this one, and first of all, obviously the answer is no. Men have just as great executive function and multitasking abilities as women do. And even
so, we're better at everything.
You're better. You're not better at multitasking.
But
you are just as good as it. You are just as good as it because this is a serious subject.
No, it is serious.
Of course, it is.
Communicate differently.
We totally do. But you know, I want to say one thing too. I think it starts much.
But I do agree with you. No man shaming.
Because it starts with numbers. It starts, you know, women outnumber men. Okay, so in terms of eligible women and eligible men, women outnumber men. So your pool of eligible men is much smaller than my pool of eligible women when we start dating. That's where it starts, right? So you're more likely to compromise on your values and principles when you're picking your mate than if we do it as men. So that's where it starts. And that's why women are more likely to accept a mate giving the potential that he brings to the table. Whereas we look at a woman and say, if she's not all that right then and there, we don't want it. So that's where the show starts. Because you're already compromising before you even step to the what is it called? Podium? Where you get married?
Altar?
The altar. Yeah. You are already compromising. And already in your brain starts working about how to improve the situation. What it really means is how to better him, right? So that's where the communication starts being
lopsided. But I didn't compromise. My husband was literally perfect before we had kids. Perfect.
And then what happened?
Perfect.
And then what happened?
Well,
see what you did to him.
Well, what happens, right, is this invisible layer of keeps growing and growing and growing, and you stop communicating. Mm-hmm. You stop communicating. That's what happens. And then I had a woman say to me, I can't communicate with my husband. It's so sad. Women all over this country don't feel like they can talk to you men about these things. I had to write you a damn paperless post in my book because they were afraid to bring up these conversations. A woman said, I will never bring it up. And then you know what she tells me 20 minutes later? Unironically, the same woman who says she can never talk to her husband about doing more in the home or the fact that she would like him to maybe move the toothpaste or help her with the transporting of her kids. 20 minutes later in the conversation, she says, back to man-shaming, she dumps wet clothes on his pillow when he forgets to take him out of the wash and put him in the dryer. I have a woman who's locking her home out. I have a woman who locked her home, as you said, locked her husband out of her glue stick. Another woman's telling me,
why are people getting married if this is what's
happening? How about this? What about the other woman?
How do you talk people into getting married?
Well, that's what I said.
That's what it turns out.
But that is the real myth. You know what? Because you set up your expectations and your communications early. That's why I had to write a book. It's not just a card game. It's a book about how you communicate about these things.
So,
and it took 10 years of mediation experience to figure it out.
Here's the thing.
I can tell you. Yes.
Wow, there's so much. There's so much in this. There's so much.
I still think Julianne should get to put that cup in the sink if she wants to.
Well, she still does. She did it yesterday.
It's not going to change. Yeah, because she did it yesterday. There's no way.
I want to go back to one thing you said.
But there is a possibility of change.
She can put it between the sink and
the
dishwasher.
Hold on.
There is a possibility of change. Yeah.
On top of the counter, above the dishwasher.
Done. Let's go.
That's a reasonable person standard. I talk about that in the book. Okay.
One thing that really irritates me is when somebody says, I can't talk to my husband about this. How dare she say what he's capable of?
Right.
You know, if my wife says, I can't talk to you about this.
Right.
Well, how dare you limit me and box me in that you're the person I love the most in the world, that I am not capable of being sensitive to your needs or just listening.
Can we drop the mic now? I'm going
to
take that clip out.
Yeah, but for the women listening,
yeah, they go to
don't
the couch.
Don't discount your men.
Please, do not discount your men.
Let's be realistic.
I'm with Boris a little bit because I know in my
relationship,
mic
drop,
there
by the
are
way.
Things, if I bring it up, I know the answer I will get and it will not go well for me.
But you
hear that? So I think, Amy, so multiply that times 500 women.
Okay, but
that's
look,
what I
look,
heard.
This is, we'll
they were afraid
right
to have conversations about expectations in the home.
Okay. Let's say this happens, right? You go to your partner and you address something and it doesn't go well. Here's the defining moment, the pivotal point. What do you do then? Right? Do you give up?
You dump clothes on his pillow?
Do you dump clothes on his pillow and make it worse?
No.
You grow resentment? No, seriously. Because when Sophie was born, we were this hot Hollywood couple, and Sophie was born and she's diagnosed with spina bifida. Mm. And we crash and 2 months into our marriage, and it's just the most traumatizing, crazy, I don't wish it on anybody. Mm. So, as an example of adversity, challenge, right? Like communicating. So now we're here with this baby and we have no idea what this is and what happens next. That's the most traumatizing experience you can have. PTSD immediately, all this stuff. Now, we got help and we figured out how to communicate and speak to our different approaches in terms of pain, sorrow, anger, fears, right? Because we process this thing completely different because we're different people, right? But we didn't let it divide us. We used it to eventually became invincible together, right? And it's the same with communication because that's an example of heightened stakes in a moment of communication needs, right? Same with the pillow, same with anything else. What matters is how do you react when there is a lack of communication or when there's an issue. Do you let us drive you apart? Okay, and because then it compounds, it gets worse and worse and worse. Or do you battle through that moment, right? You figure out the things that you are on the same page about, which is very important. A lot of people forget that you have to remind each other of, let's step back three paces and say, okay, what do we agree on together? In your case with the clothes, it would be clothes need to be washed. Okay, we agree on that. Mm-hmm. We agree. Mm-hmm. Let's work our way up from there. So in this I'm from another country. By now you probably heard it, but I'm from Germany. So it's the culture is very different over there. Everything is very different. And here, there's this is we live in this instant society where everything is instantaneously, has to be instantaneously. Everything is hypersensitive. Everything is hyper competitive. It's like you got to maximize your potential at all. You got to be the best. You got to be the best. Like it's nonstop here, and people killing themselves for it. And it's the same with the relationships. It's like if it doesn't work right now, we're gonna throw it away.
It's a throwaway society. It's a single use society. Plastic bottle. Boom, let's throw that away. It's a single use versus this.
Yeah, bottle. Absolutely. Yeah. And I agree. There's certain blessings and stuff that we have here, and then there's a lot of curses about what this is right now, especially in this country. But communication is another example of, in this throwaway society, we are very, very fast to give up, to walk away, to run for the hills. And in marriage, what's so precious is to use those moments and those challenges in order to grow and to be able to grow as an individual and also grow together. And that's what I always remind my friends of when they ask me for our secret. They always say, we give each other the space and the opportunity to fuck up. That's what it is. We give each other the opportunity to fuck up. And we don't turn our backs and we don't run away.
And it sounds like you give each other permission to actually communicate.
Yeah, but it starts with knowing that right now it's not working. And it's okay.
That's communication. But that's it.
The woman who's telling me she's dumping the clothes on her pillow, or another woman who said she started back to man shaming, Gavin, a woman who again said she doesn't want to talk to her spouse about it, but she started an Instagram account called "The Shit My Husband Doesn't Pick Up." And so literally she takes pictures of everything that's out of place in their home, and she publicly shames him on Instagram. This happened in Japan. Literally, I don't think people would believe me. People don't even believe me. And BuzzFeed just came out with the Japanese version, and the woman got 500,000 followers within 1 week, I guess, because she has the Japanese version of "The Shit My Husband Doesn't Pick Up." If this is how we're communicating, right? This is why we're 40 to 50%.
She's about to have 500,000 followers and no husband.
And no husband, right? Well, you end up divorced. Yeah. You end up resentful. Yeah. But when you can actually come to the table, and that's why this is, I'm so happy, Brooks, what you said, I'm literally going to take that clip and take it with me everywhere. When women say to me, when I go to out in the country and I interviewed people and I say, play fair play, read this book together, bring it to the table. It has all the communication tools. It's a system. So you know your role. So you understand the expectations. You're setting yourself up for success. And women say to me, well, I wouldn't even know how to talk to my spouse about this. Even though I write you the paperless post, I give you a deck of cards so you can have hard values conversations in a very fun, easy way. Women are still saying to me all over, he wouldn't hear these conversations. He doesn't want to know I'm resentful. He's tired. He doesn't want to talk about these things. What do you say to women all over when they're afraid?
So I'll say this. Men, we can miss a lot. Men, we can miss a lot. In my relationship with my wife, I'll miss a lot of things. Things that meant something to her. I didn't know that I should have had a nicer placemat out, or I didn't know that that meant something to you. I didn't know that having candles lit when you came home meant something. I'll miss a million things in my relationship. But I'll say this. Men can move mountains when it comes to their significant other. And it's select few times, they will move fucking mountains for their
partner.
I just got tears
in my eyes. Absolutely. They are
unstoppable when they want to, and when it's brought to them in that. So I apologize I didn't have flowers. I apologize I didn't have, but when it comes to it, if something's important to you, I will move mountains. So I'm sorry it wasn't the Dijon. But I am here. And sometimes it takes sometimes you have to go through a valley to figure that out. You have to, communication's off, things are off, and you're not connecting. And then just whatever it is that brings it out, I just don't want women to discount their men, because their men love them, and something, there's a reason why, whatever it is, they're not connecting, that their man isn't delivering this. Because Boris, being married, when you're super connected to your wife, you're doing every little detailed thing. You're ooh, you get so much joy out of it, giving her joy. And then when you're not connected to your wife,
like really dialed in, connected, you're not doing all of those things. Mm. But it doesn't mean that we still aren't capable of it and won't move mountains if it's brought to our attention.
You're
and
right.
not in a, let me dump laundry on your pillow so it wakes you up, but in a way that's communicated. Mm. And men are capable. We say this on the show a lot, too. I think humans need to work on the skill of listening. I think it's a powerful thing of the skill of listening. Yeah. And my wife and I, in our relationship, we say, listen to understand, listen to respond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want to read our like our wedding song. I have the lyrics from our wedding song. Just what you were saying about this Instagram account, stuff he leaves laying around or whatever. This is in our wedding song. It's called All This Time by One Republic. We've got all these words, can't waste them on another, so I'm straight in a straight line running back to you. Mm. And we picked this song because of those words. Like, I can't talk to Gavin about something wrong with my wife, like, and complain to him. I need straight in a straight line back to my wife. Mm. I'm not wasting these words on another. They're coming to my heart. They're coming to my compass point.
I will say that this is what ended up happening after the book came out. It's just been out 10 days, was that I got over 300 emails to just info at Eve Rodsky, like not even something that they knew. They had to find my name. And 70% are men saying, I want these communication tools for my partner. Mm. I want to play this game. I feel like there's invisible work that I'm doing that my wife doesn't know about. I don't want her to be at Resentometer 10. Yeah. I want us to bring us down. I want to work on our relationship. And I do feel like I feel that way.
Women
that is my love letter to you.
Guys, women need to throw away the script that we have written of what we want you to say.
That's correct.
That is the biggest thing that women, in my opinion, need to do.
Yeah.
We all have that script. If he just did this, if he just said that, we have to throw that, burn it, toss it.
How about also the other thing, the most important thing that I say as a mediator is when emotion is high, cognition is low.
Yeah.
Do not give feedback in the moment. Mm-hmm. Women, men will retreat.
Mm-hmm.
That is just sort of the pattern I see in all of my work, 10 years of work doing this.
We don't want the conflict.
You retreat.
Yeah.
Women will go in and they will keep going in and feedback in the moment. When you can have emotion is low, cognition is high. Mm-hmm. That's when you have those conversations.
But you know what you said, Brooks, was phenomenal about moving mountains, because what's so poignant about that is that men are driven by emotional validation. Women are driven by emotional attention. So what that means is that if we haven't gotten the acknowledgement or the appreciation from our spouse in a while,
it drives us away.
Because we do move mountains, invisible mountains, right?
Yeah.
We're moving mountains every single day.
Yeah.
So if all we hear is the yap, 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 and never the honey, thank you for this, or wow, this was amazing.
That's right.
We completely shut down.
That's one of the biggest things to men is acknowledgement.
Yeah.
It's
huge.
Just
appreciation.
That's how we speak. That's how we're seen. Because I believe, like you do 10 million things, I'm sure, behind the scenes that your wife isn't even aware of. If you made a list, it could be 10 times the size of that one.
Right.
But any little slightest acknowledgement of you're a good man means the world
means everything.
To us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything. Thank and that you. Can come verbally. It could come in shape of a sandwich.
Yeah.
It can come
in a Postmates, in a text message. Just thank you. I love you. So, like,
it's huge.
Acknowledgement to a man.
Yep.
He'll move mountains. Yep.
But can
for
I tell
you
something interesting, though, that I found, though? I tried to introduce gratitude into the system. So the Fair Play is really about sitting down to talk about your values, about the things in the home that matter. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is that we're talking about values over garbage. Very similar to what you were saying before about the fact that this is not about what we said, these small little details. But really, it's what I came to the table. You were saying to me before about I come as a single mom with all my baggage. You're talking about the years of stuff we bring into our relationship. What happens, right, when you sit down and I force you through this card game to have a values conversation over garbage? So I'm not fighting with you and saying, just take out the freaking garbage with no acknowledgement. But I say to my partner, I care about garbage. The reason why I'm stalking you over garbage and why I keep asking if you put the liner back in and seeing if it's spilling over is because I grew up in that single mom household. And because it was the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And in the 80s, we didn't have a garbage can and we had one of those takeout bags, and garbage spilled out over onto the floor. Mm-hmm. And so I was a dehydrated child because if you turned on the light in my apartment, there'd be water bugs and cockroaches that scattered everywhere. Mm-hmm. So if I can say to you, I'm triggered by garbage, and that's why I care if garbage goes out. Mm-hmm. And then my husband, when we started communicating better, where I wasn't just crying and sobbing over blueberries and not telling him, and he was very generous and wanted to move mountains for me, said things to me like, well, I don't value garbage the same way you did. I grew up in a fraternity. You know, I lived in a fraternity. I had a Domino's pizza box as my pillow. And so what happens when we're at different places? What he said to me finally was, I care that it means something to you. And I see that it mattered to you because of your childhood. And so, but I also care about what's reasonable. What's not reasonable is for you not to acknowledge that I am taking out the garbage and for you to stalk me with the garbage liner. Mm-hmm. But what's reasonable in our household, and we talk about these types of conversations in the book, what's reasonable is to expect the garbage will go out once a day.
Why don't you just make the garbage your task?
Well, I did, actually. We redeal. We redeal what I call the daily grinds, the hard ones that no one should have to hold forever, like dishes or laundry.
That.
Yeah, you redeal.
That's nice.
Every week, it's sort of like a staff meeting. I'm treating the home like an organization, our most important organization. But when it was his task and he wanted to take that task, we decided what's reasonable for both of us. Garbage goes out at 7 p.m. He said, I'll put it in my calendar like a work appointment. I will move that mountain, get that garbage out, as long as you f-ing never mention the word garbage again. Mm-hmm. And then garbage started going out at 7 o'clock in our house. Mm-hmm. But we had to have a values conversation over garbage. And nobody's having these conversations.
Yeah, because he wouldn't know that.
He didn't know it was triggering me.
Yes.
No, I know.
And everybody has triggers like that. But you have to be able to put them out on the table.
Right.
And I love what Amy said about the script. You gotta be flexible enough to change the script once you understand. And people always throw this word out, love language, which nobody really knows what the hell that is.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's learning how each person communicates. And then go from there and stop judging and stop what he said. Stop
man-shaming.
Trashing and man-shaming and women shaming.
That's something,
that's something
you know that guys just can't. We don't.
You want to drive a man away? That's how you do it.
You want a man to leave?
Yeah.
You just, all you got to do is shame him a couple of times. Yeah. You'll never see him again.
I think that's right.
Period.
Yeah.
He's checked out.
Well, what about that guy who's the Instagram guy? I want to find him. I want to find the husband who is the recipient of the,
Did you know, on average, people spend between 30 minutes to an hour in the bathroom every day? Unless you're Brooks, who spends 5 hours and 30 minutes in the bathroom every day. But we've learned a little bit too much about Brooks and his bathroom habits, but that's neither here nor there. Native is a brand that creates safe, simple, effective products that people use in the bathroom every day with trusted ingredients and trusted performance. 9,000 five-star reviews. So the question is, do you like smelling good and feeling clean and confident? Well, who doesn't? Native products don't have aluminum, parabens, and talc. Native products are filled with ingredients found in nature, like coconut oil, shea butter, which is a moisturizer, tapioca starch, which absorbs wetness. They never test it on animals, and it's free shipping and returns.
And making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean having to sacrifice how well it works, because Native products work. It's worth it. Native is aluminum-free, safe, and effective. And for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code HMT during checkout. That's HMT, as in how men think.
Native comes in a wide variety of scents for men and women, with new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year. They offer an unscented formula and baking soda-free formula for those with sensitivities. Coconut and vanilla are the most popular, but ladies, you will love lavender and rose. I use cucumber and mint and eucalyptus and mint. Native offers free returns and exchanges in the USA. For 20% off your first purchase, use nativedeodorant.com and use promo code HMT, how men think, during checkout. Use promo code HMT during checkout.
Let's get into more of this. Boris, you got a roll.
Yep.
Dude, I also want your mission. I love your mission. I can align with it because you have a fitness app designed to serve people.
Yes, I love that, brother. Yes, thank you.
You and your wife do it together?
The whole family, my brother, myself, his kids, our kids, 8 of us. And we, really quickly, CoFit is a family fitness app that basically demystifies workout and nutrition. Because a lot of people out there extremely intimidated by the fitness industry because they speak about is six packs and summer bots. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us don't have the money to go to the gym.
A lot of us don't have the time.
There you go. Don't have the time to go to the gym.
I have a winter bod.
And our kids have never been more stationary. They sit in school, so they come home, they sit on the couch, they play video games, they play with their phones. So this is actually in the history of the world, this is the first time a generation has a shorter life expectancy than their parents.
No way.
Yeah. So this is pretty serious. So what we're sharing with people, my brother was a pro athlete like myself, and he is a trainer and a nutritionist and a life coach. Mm. And what we are telling people is we don't want you to climb Mount Everest. We want you to spend 5 minutes with us every day.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we're going to make it fun.
Yeah.
And we move and we get the whole family involved. We have kids. We have NFL players. We have Terry Crews came through. Cool. We have athletes who are in wheelchairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we move 5 minutes a day. And it creates a habit after a while. Mm-hmm. It creates a healthy habit. Mm-hmm. It spills out into your day. You have a sense of accomplishment. You did it. Mm-hmm. Your relationships are better. Your performance at work is better.
Energy. And creates
your
energy.
Your yeah. energy, exactly. Mm. And it's become this wildfire of a movement where people, they send us comments. We saved their life, contemplating suicide, wow. reigniting relationships wow. in their family. Because finally they felt seen and they felt like they're part of something. Mm-hmm. Because working out an hour and a half is not realistic. It's not sustainable. And the same with food. When you tell people who love sodas to stop drinking soda, it's not sustainable because they won't do it. Mm-hmm. But if you say make an adjustment every day, even if it's just cutting your soda intake by half, just one day, right? Or I'm not telling you to deprive yourself of food that you love. It's not realistic and it's not sustainable. But what is sustainable is spending 5 minutes together as a family, having a great time, and then creating habits based on that. So it's a CoFit app. You can download it in the app store. And we hang out every single day. We have simple and effective tips on nutrition and workouts, mindfulness. We do yoga, meditation.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, do meditation. I want to, because I've started to get into more arts. Gav, we were talking about this. I'm like painting more, listening to like instrumental music, like different things. But meditation is something that I've never got into. But
I don't touch
my
phone for an hour. And then when I get up, I don't touch my phone for an hour.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because when you become reactive rather than active.
Yeah.
So I just take care of myself for an hour.
What's like the fundamental approach to getting started in a meditative sort of capacity?
What you do is you start with 2 minutes, and then you when you're ready, you do 5 minutes. And and the main thing is your stillness. And what has helped me when I first started is focusing on your breathing. And I know that's an abstract sort of word, but what it actually is, you're literally listening to yourself inhale and exhale, and you're imagining your lungs expanding and contracting. So, and that's what you start with. That's what you focus on, because that's what calms the noise in your head down, all the thoughts that we have. It calms everything right down. That's
so
how you start.
Is the purpose to have less, essentially, to have more room to think, or to think less?
Think less. Look, your thoughts are the language of your brain, and your feelings are the language of your body. So your physical vibration is the manifestation of your emotions, right? So the goal is to really be in your body, to really feel your bodily functions, if you will, the breathing and your heart rate and everything else. And that's what turns the noise down in your brain, and it gives you a capacity to be more present in your everyday life.
Good.
Sleep good, more energy, better relationships.
Do you drink caffeine?
Never.
Do you drink caffeine?
No, I've never had coffee in my
never
life.
Had coffee
do you
in my
drink
life.
Caffeine?
No, none.
Just me, huh?
Since we've been here. Well, Boris, I want to say thank you,
thank
buddy.
Thank you.
I appreciate your insights. Where can they find CoFit? You already said on the App Store.
Yeah,
App Store. Where can they find you? Where
me
do you
on Instagram,
about?
Boris Kodjo.
Right there.
Yeah. Awesome.
And we'll put it on our show notes, everything too.
Cool.
You guys got to follow us. I love your insight, man. And
thank you.
It was great.
I have respect for you as a human being.
Appreciate
just your energy in this room. I can feel you're a great man, a great husband. Appreciate you coming
in,
buddy.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap this up right here. Boris, you're the man. Appreciate you coming in. But we have so much more to cover next week. Eve is going to come back to continue this conversation. One of our biggest polarizing debates. We want to know what you guys at home listening think. And if you have any questions, we have a new voicemail that we will answer your questions from. You can reach us at 1-888-430-1777. So let us know your thoughts, your questions, anything you want Eve to touch on next week, 1-888-430-1777. That's it for this episode. How Men Think. We always appreciate our listeners coming in. Till next week, take care of one another, love one another, and we'll see you right back here.